Welcome to the By His Grace podcast. If this is your first time listening, I just want to thank you and welcome you here. I'm so excited because we are now global and I think we're on every continent in the world. So that is really cool. So to everyone listening overseas, I'm so glad you're here. To those of you in the United States, thank you all for being here. I've got a free gift for you. If you go to mistyphillip.com/declarations, you can grab your 10 free declarations to help you live an empowered life in Jesus. So today, I want to welcome my new friend, Sarah Ward. Sarah, welcome to By His Grace.
Thanks, Misty. Thank you for having me on here today.
Well, Sarah and I met through Hope Writers, and I'm excited to have Sarah here. Sarah, why don't you tell my audience a little bit about yourself?
Sure, I'd love to. I'm a pastor's wife and mom of three kids who came to our family through adoption. One of our kids is in heaven, and then the two others that are here at home are 13 and age 2. So that's an adventure, having toddlers and teenagers in the same home.
Absolutely. I'm also,
yeah, it's great. I love it, actually. I'm also a writer and speaker who lives in Indiana, and I teach women how to move forward in their grief and to rediscover their hope and their purpose in Christ.
Oh, that is so good. I love that. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is we're going to talk about grief. And you mentioned your angel baby. And so why don't you share your story with listeners?
Yeah, I'll do that. I first want to mention that I grew up in a Christian home, and I had two great parents, a great brother and sister, and never really knew tragedy in my childhood and didn't realize how lucky I was until I turned 16 years old. Then my father passed away very suddenly. And I know a lot of people who have lost parents when they were young or young adults, and I had never experienced that kind of tragedy before. And that really changed my life. It made me realize that none of us are immune from suffering. And I think up until that point, because I had been raised as a Christian, I believed that somehow I had like special protection, that like because I was a good person and my parents were raising me right, that somehow I was going to avoid suffering. And seeing my dad die so suddenly made me realize that we are not immune to that, that we still experience the brokenness and pain of this world. And that was a real turning point for me in my life. Everything changed at that point. It was like one chapter closed and I started a new one. And I had to learn to navigate that grief and that suffering kind of on my own at a young age. And I believe you mentioned in a past podcast that you also lost a parent when you were in your young 20s.
Well, yeah, but I lost my brother when I was 12. And so I understand what you're saying. That rocked our whole family and it changed the trajectory of my life. And yeah, and then my dad died very suddenly when I was in my early 20s, and it was devastating. Even though I was acquainted with grief and loss, it was still very, very difficult. It just changes. And I don't know why, as Christians, if we read the Bible, we know that Jesus says, in this world, you will have tribulation. Jesus suffered, and he said, if you follow me, you know, you're going to suffer. But somehow we skip over that and we think, oh, this is, you know, this is going to be easy street. But it's not easy street, but he has overcome the world. And because he has overcome the world, we can have hope. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit more about your story.
Well, then I met my husband in college and he became a worship pastor. I never thought I would be a pastor's wife, but that's what God called me to, and that's what he called our family to. And we did not imagine that we were going to adopt or that we were going to lose a child. But when my husband was 30, he was diagnosed with cancer. And that was another one of those turning points where I realized that even though he was serving in the church and being faithful to that calling, that he was also called to cancer. And he made it through cancer, and he's been in remission for 14 years. But as a result of that, we have now adopted 3 children because of what he went through. And we adopted our daughter right after he had gone through cancer treatment. And that was kind of a whirlwind adoption story. But it was really neat to see the way that God took our pain and his suffering, his diagnosis. And then we found our daughter and got to adopt her at birth. And then a few years later, we adopted a son named Silas. And little did we know when we adopted Silas that he had a genetic condition called Lay's disease. Now, Lay's disease is very rare, affects very few children. And usually the only way that you know that you carry Lay's disease is when you have a child with the disease as well. So a lot of women don't even know that they carry the gene for it. And his birth mother did not realize that either. And so he was born healthy, happy, great little guy. And it was around 6 months old. When he was 6 months old, we started to see that he was getting behind in some of his developmental milestones. He was like not as strong as other kids, and he wasn't sitting up. He would always fall over, and he was having trouble holding up his head. And so we asked the doctor about it, and she said, well, let's wait a few more months before we run any tests, because he might just be behind, because that's how kids are, right? They develop at their own pace.
That's right.
Well, at 9 months old, we came back in for our well check appointment with the doctor, and he had made no progress. And at that point, I knew something was wrong. And she said, he needs to have an MRI. So we had an MRI done. And remember, at this point, we had no idea what was wrong with him. And it seemed very mild at the time. And she had told us she thought it was probably something mild. And the MRI results came back very quickly. And it said Lay's disease. And I was like, what is Lay's disease? And the pediatrician didn't even know at that time. And so she sent us to a pediatric neurologist for a second opinion, because she didn't know if it could be something else. And she wanted to be sure that it was Lay's disease. So we went and saw this pediatric neurologist. And of course, at this time, I was praying that it would be something else. I was praying, please, God, you know, let it be something more mild. Because when I looked up information on Lay's disease, it's always fatal. There is no cure. There is no treatment. And children only live about 2 to 3 years on average. Sometimes a little longer, but not much. And basically they start out fine, but they quickly start losing all their skills. They lose all their muscle tone. They lose all their abilities, and they regress to the point of going back to being a newborn until they pass away, because their mitochondria, which is in your cells, if you go back to biology class, it's basically doesn't function right. It's a mitochondrial disease. And so you have no energy to power any part of your body. And so eventually your body just gives out. And when we went to the neurologist, he looked at Silas's MRI and he said, yes, it's Lay's disease. And he saw my face kind of drop at that moment. And he didn't know what to say. And so he said, the poor guy said, it's okay. Stay strong, mama. And he walked out of the room. And at the time, I was just devastated. And I thought, how can I stay strong on my own? And I realized at that point, I can't go through this on my own. I have to rely on the Lord's strength, because I'm going to watch my child die. I'm going to care for him and watch him pass away. And I don't know that I can get through this. And what I learned through that journey, he lived till almost age 3, was that there was joy even in the suffering, even in watching him lose skills and lose his ability to hold up his head and to enjoy and caring for him, and in seeing the image of God in him and getting to spend those few short years with him. And he passed away just before his 3rd birthday, and that was in 2012. And even though we knew that his life would not be long, the grief was still really hard, because I think even when you know the grief is coming, it's still devastating. We still suffer the effects of this world. Like you said, in this world, you will have trouble. Jesus tells us that. But we do have to take heart that he gives us hope beyond this world and beyond the pain and suffering we experience here. And that's what I had to hold on to in my grief.
Yeah. You know, we had a son who was diagnosed with trisomy 18. And I remember praying, you know, very similar prayer, you know, God, please no, not this. Because for boys, trisomy 18 is usually fatal if they even make it to term. Girls have a little bit longer of a survival rate than boys do. And although he was still born, and so he was actually born, I birthed him and he was born in heaven. You know, I understand that prayer, and so my heart goes out to you. But I also know from my personal experience that God was there in a way that I could have never imagined. And he put me in this grace bubble. That's the only way that I can describe it, in this peace bubble, that I would have friends come to me to try to minister to me, and they would walk away going, what just happened? Like, because I was so full, like the presence of the Lord was so on me, because that is the only way I could have gotten through that, was with him. Thank you for sharing your that part of your journey. But I want to get to the point of what God did in your life through that, because that is where, you know, that's the point of this podcast, is we all suffer in different ways. And sometimes we go through major back-to-back thing, but through it all, I want people to know they're not alone. So what hope did God give you in that process?
Yeah, let me first say, Misty, that I'm so sorry for your loss, and I'm inspired by your story of how you hung on to God's grace and his goodness in your loss, and thank you for letting me share that with you today and with your audience today. But after I lost Silas, obviously grief is different for everyone, so I'm going to share part of my grief story, but I know that in our pain and in sharing our grief stories, we find connection and we find comfort. We use that to comfort one another as we've been comforted as well. And I wanted from the beginning of my grief to not only go through the grief fully, knowing that that was the way to heal, but to find God's gifts in the brokenness, to experience more of him and to not give up on his promises. Because I think when we feel like we've hit rock bottom, that somehow God has forgotten us, that his promises aren't for us. And I had to remind myself of what those promises are. And I remember when my husband had cancer, doing this same thing, I had to read God's word and use some of those scriptures that really spoke to my heart, my grief-stricken heart, and remind myself that God was there for me in my grief, that he would not leave me nor forsake me. And when my husband had cancer, I would write out some of those verses on 3x5 cards and post them around the house, because I needed that reminder throughout my day, not just during my quiet time, but when I felt despair as I was washing dishes, or when I'm in the bathroom and I'm washing my hands. And then I'd see that scripture posted next to the mirror, and I would be reminded that that promise was for me too. That even though I was going through something really hard, his hope, his peace, his refuge is there for me. And so I really started on this mission of looking for God's gifts in my brokenness, not because pain and brokenness are good, they're part of sin and the fall, but because he redeems our stories of brokenness. I believe that. And so I started looking for his hope and hanging on to the hope of heaven in a whole new way. And I really believe that when you lose things, especially loved ones who are precious to us, you start to hang on to the hope of heaven in a new way. And I saw the gift of community in my brokenness. Like, that's been overwhelming for me to reflect on how people showed up for me in my grief, and for our family, and for my daughter, you know, who was left without a sibling. And I started writing about it too. About a year after my son, his death anniversary, I started blogging about some of these gifts of brokenness and how God was speaking to me tenderly and healing my heart. And it is a journey. It doesn't happen overnight, but by hanging on to those promises, by believing that he would not leave me nor forsake me. I feel like my relationship with him has grown deeper, that I have a better understanding of his unconditional love. And that's a really, really beautiful gift. And now those gifts of brokenness are going to become a book later on this fall, because I want others who are in despair to find those gifts for themselves.
That's beautiful. I know that that is going to be a powerful book. I don't know if you've read Anne Voskamp's book, A Thousand Gifts, but that is what I was reading. And that is one of the ways that God had prepared my heart, because the book had just come out. I had just started reading her blog, and I could only read a little bit because I was pregnant, but I began looking at my pregnancy in a whole new light from the time that I received the diagnosis, and I prayed for it to be something different, but also just began thanking God for that I was pregnant again. I thanked him that I could feel my baby move inside me, and that, you know, just everything that I could think of, and that changed everything. So I'm so glad that you are writing this book, and I know that it is going to be such a blessing to people who are grieving. So tell me the name of the book.
It's called Made for Hope, Discovering Unexpected Gifts in Brokenness. It's coming out at the end of October, on October 29th, which is the day before my son Silas's birthday. He would have been 10 years old this year. And so I decided that I was going to try to get it as close to his birthday as I could. Books normally come out on Tuesdays, so his birthday's Wednesday. And so it's kind of a celebration of his life, and also, even though we lost him for now, and we know we'll see him again in heaven, that this is kind of a redemptive act to write a book talking about our grief and trying to point people toward Jesus.
Yeah, that's right. That's what it's all about. Well, I've got two questions for you. One is there a scripture that you held on to in this time that really ministered to you?
It's 2 Corinthians 4:16-18. Paul is speaking here, and he says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal weight of glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." And it reminds me that my grief and my pain in this life are temporary. They're light and momentary, like Paul talks about. And that what we look forward to, heaven and eternity, those are forever. And so it refocuses me on what matters.
It's kind of hard for our minds to grasp that, because eternity, we're finite, and God is infinite, and eternity is forever, and we live this short blip of a life. But I'm with you. If we can really grasp that, that gives us so much hope, because we can endure the troubles of this world knowing that one day everything will be made new, and we will be redeemed, and we'll be with our Father in heaven. So that is beautiful. Well, my last question for you that I always ask is, if you would sit down with somebody and you were going to talk to a mama who was just facing a difficult diagnosis for her child, or someone who just lost a baby, what would you say to them?
Well, it's interesting, because the Jews have this practice called sitting Shiva, which happens when someone loses a loved one. People come over to sit next to those who are in mourning, and they don't, or at least they're not supposed to offer any advice or start a conversation. They're just supposed to sit there and listen. And if the person who is in mourning wants to talk, then they talk. But if they don't, and they just want to sit there in silence, these friends who are sitting Shiva with them just sit there in silence with them. And I guess one of the things I've learned on this journey is that it's okay to just sit and listen and not have any words for the person who's going through something, that sometimes they're not even ready to hear things that we might find encouraging, but they're just not ready to hear. Even sometimes scripture that they're not quite ready to hear yet although it might be true, and that the best thing I can do is just listen and tell them how sorry I am and try to be there for them. And the other thing that I try to remind myself to do is that it's not only important to show up after it happens, but to stay there for the long haul and keep showing up. I think we're really good at showing up when tragedy strikes, but then it's really easy a few months into it to think, oh, well, they're probably doing okay, or, oh, things are going better. When really, a lot of times after a few months of grief, you're just starting to understand the depths of despair. Like the shock has worn off and all of those initial emotions, those raw emotions, and now you're kind of sinking into the real heavy stuff. And that's when you really need friends to just stand by you and to pray with you. And so if I had a friend who was going through this, I think I would just listen and I would try to be there for the long haul. And I would also pray for them and with them, because ultimately I can't heal them. There's nothing I can personally do to heal them, but I know that Jesus can, and that he can bring about redemption to their story and to their pain. And so I think praying for them and praying for the long haul is so important.
You know, I'm so glad that you said that, because I agree with you completely. You know, everyone comes when someone dies, and they come to the funeral and they come to the viewing, and they bring meals and do all of the things initially. But it's in the weeks and months and years and holidays and birthdays and all of those times when, and you're right, grief is a process. It doesn't happen all at once. And so I love what you said about sitting Shiva. I've never heard that before, and that's beautiful. I remember when my brother died, and one of my really good friend's moms came over, and she just said, "What can I do?" And that was back in the day before people took their clothes to the dry cleaning, and she just started ironing shirts, and she ironed all of my dad's shirts, and she just stayed there. And I'm sure she was probably praying over my family, and she just was quiet, but that was a thing that she could do to be a help and a blessing. And she just stood there and ironed and didn't say anything that I remember. But it's that same concept of just being there, showing up, but then remembering in the days and weeks and months to come, because grief is definitely a process.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. I love that story.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Well, I sure enjoyed having you here, and I'm excited about your book that's coming out. And I will put all the links to all the things in the show notes. So thank you so much for being here. If people do want to find you, where can they find you online?
My website is sarahrward.com. And also all my social media handles, you can find me under Sarah R. Ward. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, all of them. So I would love to connect with you there. And I do have on my website several freebies for those who are going through grief. I have some resources that they can sign up for on my website at sarahrward.com.
Excellent. Okay, y'all go to Sarah's website and show her some love. Sarah, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Misty. I really appreciate it. It's been an honor and privilege to speak with you, and also to hear your story. It really inspires me.
Thank you. Thank you for joining me today on By His Grace. I hope you've enjoyed listening and are encouraged by our guest today. I would love for you to visit my blog, mistyphillip.com, for more encouragement. You can find me on social media as Misty Philip, and I would love to connect with you there.